bringing you news from around the world from Temple University. Welcome to Rational Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Rational Radio here on WHIP, Philly's number one college radio station. I'm Emily. Today, I have Amaranth with me, of course, as always.
It's Wednesday.
It is Wednesday.
It's Amaranth and Emily Day.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yep. Also, Wednesday, September 25th. Yeah.
If you were listening about like 4 minutes ago, I don't know if you noticed that we accidentally played the intro a little early, but it's fine. We're assuming that nobody was listening 4 minutes ago, but if you were, sorry about that.
Pretend
we didn't mean
happen.
To do like a false alarm on you.
Yeah, just pretend it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how are you today?
I'm pretty good. You know, I was feeling a little bit, I've been feeling a little bit off all week just from, there's a cold going around my house right now. So, but you know what? Every day is a new day. I feel better today than I did yesterday. I felt better yesterday than I did the day before that. So I think tomorrow everything will be fine. You know, it's just like a head cold. So like my head is just like all fuzzy. So sorry about that if this show sucks because of that, but it'll be fine.
Yeah, it's okay. My friend has a virus and pink eye, so you know.
Epic.
It's just everyone's just dying, apparently.
Yeah, it's that time of year, you know, it's like it's when the semester really starts to hit you well, and then like that combined with like change in weather, increase like change in allergies. So like it's all kind of hitting us. We're all getting used to also like living with a lot of other people as opposed to like just living with a family. So it's that time of year. We're all gonna get sick. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll survive.
It's a lot right now, but you know what? It's okay. We're just gonna keep on trucking.
Yeah, so sorry about that if you hear me like sniffling or anything. I left my DayQuil on the kitchen table, so.
You know who might not keep on trucking? The person involved in our next news, in our first news story.
Whoa, that was such a great segue.
I planted it on purpose.
That was really great.
Yeah. Okay, so we're gonna get into it. If you've kept up with the news in the last 24 hours, you already know what we're gonna talk about.
Yo, this is whack. I like honestly, I was getting like emails from like Washington Post and the New York Times last night, and I was like, "Oh, Emily and I have to cover this tomorrow."
Yeah.
I was like, "Oh my gosh, this is gonna be crazy."
As someone who, as the two people who make the rundowns that we go over, it's a good thing because it's such a big topic that you know. It'll be less things that we talk about on here, but it's also, like, it's very...
We were like, we only need, like, two stories today.
it's a very... A lot of mixed feelings about this.
Because, like, two massive things happened today.
Yeah.
And you know what? We're going to keep you in the dark on the second one until, like, later, but for now.
A lot of leaders doing things they should not be doing.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
There's some issues going on.
So,
people.
We're going to get started.
Look alive, everybody.
Yeah. So, if you've opened any newspaper, news... link, news, app, news, anything recently, you would know that Nancy Pelosi has announced a formal impeachment investigation into President Donald Trump.
Oh, man.
Uh-oh. She finally did it. So this is coming from BuzzFeed News. So it's finally here.
And like every other news story. Like
literally,
news outlet
in
the whole world.
Yeah,
like, everybody's covering it.
I just use BuzzFeed News because I have BuzzFeed News notifications, so like I just copied it, but
like that's why I use like WAPO and New York Times because they like send me emails.
New York Times,
so
it's finally here. Well, we'll get into that, but after months of calls from citizens and members of Congress, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi announced Tuesday afternoon that she is launching a formal impeachment investigation into Donald Trump. She will direct 6 House committees to investigate Trump, quote, under that umbrella of impeachment inquiry, adding, quote, again, the president must be held accountable. No one is above the law. The Judiciary Committee has already begun an impeachment investigation, but other committees involved include the Intelligence Committee, Foreign Affairs, Oversight, Ways and Means, and Financial Services. The committee's investigation is just the first step toward impeachment. A majority of the full House would still need to vote on articles of impeachment in order to indict Trump. The Senate is then responsible for holding an impeachment trial, but Republicans are unlikely to pursue that one simply because, even though Democrats, of course, run the House, Republicans have a majority in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
More than 170 Democrats had come out in support of impeachment inquiry, including many members in more conservative districts. This support appears to have swayed Pelosi, who has argued for months that the House cannot pursue an inquiry without having all the facts and has publicly worried impeachment would be too divisive and could lose Democrats their majority. Trump, of course, called this investigation a quote-unquote witch hunt meant to distract the public from his UN meeting. He took to Twitter to voice his displeasure, like he usually does. And we'll also get into some of the things he said. But now, you're probably all wondering, what was the final straw? Why was this investigation open in the first place? Well, if you remember from last week, we spoke about a whistleblower who has not come to light. But basically, last week, if you listen to our show, you can find that on Spotify. But shameless plug. A whistleblower came forward last week and basically said that Donald Trump had a conversation with a leader of another country, and that the call was very suspicious, very fishy, and that the whistleblower felt very uncomfortable by the call, meaning it should be brought to light.
Yep, I remember this because this was Monday.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Read about this at 3:30 in the morning on Sunday. Yep. On Monday.
So the whistleblower report was last week, which linked Trump to a call from a foreign official. So this might have some, this does have something to do with it, because the Washington Post reported on Monday that the recent phone call between the president of Ukraine and Donald Trump, though the story remained, okay, hold up, let me reread that. I can't read.
Okay.
The Washington Post reported on Monday that there was a recent call between the president of Ukraine and Donald Trump. Though the full story remains unclear, this could have been the call with the foreign official that left the whistleblower feeling uneasy, which you mentioned, like I said, on Wednesday's show. Trump, days before the phone call, put a hold on $400 million in aid to Ukraine. When the two presidents spoke on the phone, Trump reportedly pushed for information on Joe Biden's son, Hunter Biden, who has a seat on the board of a Ukrainian national gas company. As we all know, Joe Biden is running for president. So to sum that all up, what the Washington Post thinks happened is that Donald Trump was on the phone with the president of Ukraine, and he basically said, the only way I'm going to give you the $400 million in aid that we said we would give you is if you find me dirt on Joe Biden's son, probably to use it against Joe Biden if he were to win the Democratic nomination. So because of that, Nancy Pelosi felt that it was enough to push for impeachment and open up an impeachment investigation. Now, if you're like me and you saw this notification or you just read anything about this story, the first thing you thought of was like, oh my God, finally. But then it's also like, okay, why now? Well, before we unpack that, there's a lot of other things to unpack here. One, with the election being a year away, the timeline for this is pretty sketchy. Amaranth and I were talking about this before we came on air.
Right. I mean, it's like, sorry, I was just sending emails.
No, it's okay.
While you were
it's
talking. Okay. But okay. So basically, it's like, we're at the point, we're in the middle of election season now. Election season began.
Less than 14 months away? 13 months away? Yeah.
We're going to be electing a new president in November of 2020. And then after that, Trump will only be in power until January. So, I mean, at this point, it's like, it's been, how many years has it been? Four?
He was inaugurated 2017, so it's been like, almost
3 years. Yeah. And at this point, why now is my question. Because, this is something that, maybe if it was going to happen, it would have been helpful to have happened more time ago. A year or two ago. But, at this point, we only have, a year left. I mean, unless he gets reelected, which to me feels unlikely, but I mean, it's possible that he will be reelected, but to me, it feels unlikely.
After this, it's also like I said, we'll get into that, but you can keep what you're saying. I have notes about that.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like at this point, it's late enough in his time serving as president that there's not really much of a point. And then in addition to that, once he's impeached, who are we left with? We're left with Mike Pence. For me, this is just my personal opinion, which not everyone might agree with me, but I kind of am more uncomfortable with the concept of Mike Pence as president than Donald Trump. You all, I'm sure that you're aware that I am quite liberal.
The both of us are. We very much have liberal, the same political views.
We're politically aligned. We're or more left of center, quite a bit more left of center.
Yeah.
So obviously I'm not very chill with either of them, which I mean, I can see some arguments for why people elected President Trump in the first place. Like, I understand some of the, like, those arguments, but like, they don't match my political ideals.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I would rather have President Trump than Mike Pence in power at this point, because I feel like President Trump, a lot of what he does is more, it's more based in showmanship and just like I feel like he's trying to like be like the best president ever, mm-hmm. and it's not really working out for him, but like he doesn't really have any, I don't know about like concrete plans.
Yeah.
Whereas Mike
Pence He's a populist. Like, he's very much more so, like, there's like this cult of personality surrounding him. The mm-hmm. thing is, Mike Pence, well, Donald Trump, the big thing was that he was not a politician beforehand.
Right.
Mike Pence is a seasoned politician.
Right. So he knows what he wants. He has a plan.
He has genuine Republican backing because he's what the Republicans call a by-the-book Republican, a textbook conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Trump, who just like kind of came out of nowhere. And Trump is literally a populist, but Mike Pence literally has the foundation and the backing.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like with Mike Pence in power, even if it's in a short period of time, I think it could be more to the detriment of certain policies that were enacted during the Obama era,
mm-hmm.
and to the detriment of
marginalized people.
Mm-hmm. I think that
for sure
it will be difficult, I think, for those people if Mike Pence is in power as opposed to Donald Trump.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like, Mike Pence has power right now, but I feel like more of the focus is on Trump and his policies and what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really, I don't know that he really knows all the time what he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like, in general, I feel like bad things to me are likely to happen should Mike Pence be in a power as opposed to Donald Trump.
Yeah.
And I am sorry, y'all. We're having trouble talking today.
Yeah, it's just...
Everything is just, like, a struggle to get out. I'm so tired.
Yeah. But it's also, like, back to the idea of it with election season only being, like, a year away. All this time, all this energy being spent into this possible investigation, even then, we don't know when we get an answer, because it could be a month from now, knowing how politics works in this country, it could be a year from now, more mm-hmm. than that. And at this point, is it worth the energy of this inquiry?
And I don't know that it is, because like, this inquiry, first of all, will take time. And
yeah, like I said, Pelosi has obviously been pressured to open up an investigation, and we'll start asking questions like, why did she wait until now, blah blah blah, but I can see, part of me can see, understand why she would wait until now to do it, considering the fact that, like we said, election season is only a year away, and knowing that there's this investigation on Donald Trump, could this like throw another obstacle on his campaign trail or something like that? But it's also
possible. I feel like that's probably more of the goal at this point than mm-hmm. actual impeachment, is to make it more difficult for him to be reelected.
But even then, when you go onto Twitter and you look at all these impeachment investigations, his supporters don't even care, because the man has done worse things.
I know.
Than withhold aid from a country over this. And we'll get, like I said, we'll get into why.
Yeah.
All this, I'll ask all these questions, but it's like, it's not deterring them from supporting him to begin with. So at this point,
nothing has
all the stuff he's done. Nothing's been the final straw for them, even though this was the final straw for Pelosi. It's just,
I mean, I don't think that this was necessarily the final straw for her.
She finally had
more, like, there's finally evidence.
She finally has her ducks in a row. She has enough to, yeah.
There's finally enough to at least start something. But
for sure. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just like, I mean, we'll get into it because we have to go to a talk break.
Yeah, we have to leave in like 10 seconds.
Yeah, we're going to go to a talk break. But like I said, we'll get back into this. We have a lot of questions, wondering why she waited till now, all this stuff. But if you stick around, you can hear us debate over this again, because it never ends.
We're going to talk about this more. We'll see you in a minute.
Yeah, we'll see you in a minute. Hello, and welcome back to Rational Radio.
Ooh, that was so quick.
On WHIP, Philly's number one college radio station. I'm Emily, and with me I have Amaranth today.
That was so quick. She was like, we're coming back in 10 seconds. I don't even remember there being a fade. I like glanced at my Instagram and all of a sudden.
Ooh, yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
Hello, world.
Yeah. So on the previous, in the previous talk break, we were talking about the fact that Nancy Pelosi opened up an impeachment investigation against Donald Trump.
Yep.
We mentioned that it was because last week we talked about a whistleblower investigation, a whistleblower complaint about how a whistle, how someone listened in on
it. Did we talk about that last week?
We did on Wednesday. We did.
Are you sure?
Yes, we did.
I don't remember that.
Yes, we did.
I'm pretty sure. I thought that didn't happen until like Sunday.
No, it was Wednesday. We spoke about it.
I'm pretty sure that that only happened like...
We didn't say it was on the Ukraine, but we said that there was an official whistleblower complaint.
Oh, okay, okay, okay. Yeah. Yeah, now we know it's okay, now we know what it was about. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
We think, yeah. They think it's about... Yeah, they think it's about Ukraine.
They're like 90% sure it was about Ukraine. And then Pelosi was like, you have to release the transcript of your call with the Ukraine about Joe Biden.
Exactly, yeah. And, well, to explain why, what happened, again, was the fact that, like we said, a whistleblower complaint was filed about how Donald Trump was on the phone with a foreign leader, and it was a very suspicious phone call. Come to find out that they believe it was with the president of Ukraine, mm-hmm. with Donald Trump essentially threatening to hold $400 million in aid instead of giving it to Ukraine because he wants to dirt on Joe Biden's son to maybe you probably use it against Joe Biden if he were to get the nomination.
Yeah. I mean, yo, it is so hard to keep track of all of these stories because we cover this every week and it's
there's
totally
a lot. I know. And it's always developing. There's always more information.
And then I did a news update on this on Monday.
Yeah.
And now it's Wednesday and we're still going. But yeah, I mean, this is a lot.
Wait, back to the thing about the whistleblower.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't speak about it.
I don't remember talking about it.
Okay, I did a news update on Thursday, and I spoke about it in the news update. Okay. That's why. Because I was I remember typing something about it.
Okay, so we have been talking about this, but not on live shows. She did a news update about it on Thursday.
Yeah, sorry, I'm
I did a news update about it on Monday, and I wrote about it for the Crackdown, shout out, coming out soon, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know. We're having some technical difficulties with the Crackdown. It'll come out eventually.
Yeah.
Just keep an eye on our YouTube channels.
Yeah.
It's tough. We're college students. Leave us alone.
Yeah. Yeah. But before the break, we were also talking about the fact, like, maybe like Trump's campaign, how this could deter his campaign.
Right.
But now we're going to get into the fact that why did Nancy Pelosi wait until now? Now, we mentioned the fact that waiting until now was beneficial for her because we said right before we cut off was that she needed proof. She needed hard, concrete evidence, which honestly, mm-hmm. yes, if you're going to impeach a president of the United States, you need evidence of what they did because there's no point in impeaching them if you don't have proof that they did what they did. The problem with this, though, is the fact that this man has done so many other things.
Right.
Like, you can look into the collusion with Russia, whether or not he did it. You know, when you look into the Mueller report, and every time mm-hmm. I say Mueller report, it's just, like, trauma.
Yeah, but, flashback.
Yeah, but when you look into the Mueller report, and... like, you can make an argument for that. You can make an argument for the fact that, you know, when he was running for president, there are these allegations of, and reports against him for sexual assault. You can look into the fact that, you know, with the border wall and the migrant situation at the wall, all these things, of course, there's not evidence of all of them, but you know it was tied to him. It's like, I want to ask, why was this the final straw for her? But we know why. But it's like, it's deeper than that. You know what I mean? It's more complex than that.
Yeah.
It's like, do you think it'll work? And there's so much to talk about. I don't know what to talk about first. But we said, like, you can sit there and you can say, like, oh, will it work? But like we said, election's only a year away. He only has, if he doesn't win, like 18 months left in office.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, is it worth the time? Is it worth the investigation? Will it work, period? Like,
right. I don't think that he's, like, I don't think he's going to be impeached. Like, regardless of whether this investigation moves forward or not, I don't think it's going to, like, I don't think anything's going to really happen. Mm-hmm. Except, like, the main purpose that I can see for this which, like, if this had happened maybe, like, some time ago over a different issue, I would have seen it as the end goal of being impeachment. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that the goal of this is impeachment anymore. I think that the main purpose of this investigation is to cast doubt on him as the incumbent and to cast doubt for this upcoming election. I think that is the main goal here.
Yeah. And
it's to divide the GOP.
Essentially, yeah, because at the end of the day, it's going to be like which one of them voted for him to be impeached and which ones, even if they go through the formal stuff and he isn't impeached, whatever, because we know after the House, it goes to the Senate and there's a Republican majority in the Senate. Even then, at the end of the day, it's going to be like which Republicans voted for him to be impeached and which ones didn't.
Right. And I think that the main goal here is to divide the GOP, and like, and I think that it has a possibility of working. I mean, I think it probably will work.
Yeah.
Because the GOP, like, they've become increasingly more divided over time as he's a kind of divisive person.
That's putting it lightly.
So I think that, like, that's the main goal of this. I don't think that the goal is impeachment. And so I think if that is the case, then they're going to accomplish their goal of dividing the GOP.
Yeah. And it's also, like, I like I said, I can see why they did it. And it's like now Donald Trump is also asking, like, is pushing the blame onto Joe Biden.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the full extent of it, but I can only imagine it being like, well, look into Joe Biden too, because he has ties on this. But it's like, it's, I don't know. And Nancy Pelosi herself has always been like, I don't remember the word for it, but she's like, she's kind of just there. Like, yes, like when she was reelected to be Speaker of the House, it was early this year. Yeah, earlier this year, people were like, oh, she's going to scare Donald Trump. It's just like, but she hasn't done anything yet that has legitimately, I mean, she hasn't done anything that's legitimately like what people think she has done. It's like, yes, I'm glad there's an informal investigation going on in the present. It's like, but why now?
Right.
Like, the time, the energy, the money, the resources you're putting into this, and it's like, it might not work. Even if it does work, like, you have Mike Pence, who is a whole nother thing to tackle, because that's even worse, like we spoke about before.
Yeah. And I mean, just, I don't think we're going to get Mike Pence. Like,
yeah.
I know that, like, this is, I think that the investigation is valid.
For 100%, yeah.
Many other, like, there were many other opportunities that could have also been valid, and I can understand not going through with them because it's difficult to call
lack of concrete evidence.
Right, it's difficult to call an investigation against your president. Mm-hmm. It's hard, and I know that here they actually have evidence, but like at the same time, I think they had evidence for other things, and it just didn't matter as much then. Because, you know, like, I mean, we impeached Clinton. Well, yeah, we impeached Clinton.
We impeached Bill Clinton, but I don't think he wasn't taken out of office.
Yeah.
Something like that. I think it was like the same thing where he was impeached in the Senate but not the House, or something like that. We can look that up.
But like that was over like issues with
perjury,
with perjury,
yeah,
and infidelity. And so like I feel like we could have done something like that could have already been accomplished against President Trump, or at least brought to attention within the House with President Trump, but it wasn't. And I think that, like, that's, first of all, that reflects what values, which kind of values we've, how the values of the U.S. government have developed over time. And then I think that it also just, like, I think at this point, it's more of, like, a last-ditch effort to keep Republicans out of the White House for the next administration.
Mm-hmm. And it's like I don't remember the exact statistic, but I think it's like incumbents have over 80%. I know it's over 80%. Over 80% chance of winning re-election.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like we also mentioned, his supporters don't care. Like, he has done significantly worse.
I think he has some diehard supporters who don't care, but I think that there are other people who are already on the fence and now might be more on the fence seeing this, because I think that like a major part of something that a lot of Republicans in particular are not okay with is like collusion with foreign governments, or like feeling like their president is involved with a foreign party.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that this might be divisive, and I think that it might accomplish the goal of reducing his influence within the GOP.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of the GOP.
Yo, okay, yeah. We're going to move on to a next story because, like, we.
To this.
Yeah, truly. Like, this is basically just an extension of this story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this is coming from the Washington Post. The White House mistakenly sends Trump and Ukraine talking points to Democrats. So, whenever there's a news story, the party in the White House or the White House in general has to, or it doesn't even, it's just the media in general has to find a way to spin this to make it seem like it's not as bad as it is.
Mm-hmm.
The White House and the GOP, obviously because the president is under investigation, have to find a way to make this seem like it's not as bad as it is. And instead of sending those talking points to Republicans, it also sends it to Democrats. So essentially what this means is that Democrats now have, and it's not as spicy as you think it is, but Democrats now have the ways in which the Republicans are going to make the phone call between the two leaders less than what it really was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to read up on this because we didn't really prepare for this, but essentially the Trump White House, like I said, accidentally sent their talking points for deflecting Trump and what he did. It's basically like spinning this to make it seem like it wasn't. I'm trying to read this really, really, really fast, but I can't.
I mean, just, do you have the talking points? Is there a copy?
It's like here in a tweet somewhere. Oh yeah, I found like
yeah. Just read the talking points. So, yeah, what are the talking points? Yeah.
Like I said, it's coming from the Washington Post.
We have like 3 minutes before our next talk break.
It's okay. Next talk break is also spicy, but yeah. So basically, press reports have given false currency to flat out falsehoods about the call. What the president actually talked about was entirely proper. Again, this is what the Republicans are trying to make it seem like the call is about. President Trump asked the president of Ukraine to investigate any connection between Ukraine and an attempt to interfere with the 2016 election. When a high-ranking U.S. government official like Joe Biden brags that he uses official position. Oh, another thing, I completely forgot to mention this, was that there is an allegation, or whether it's proven or not, I don't know, that Joe Biden, when he was vice president, tried to stop an investigation on his son while he was on the Ukrainian board for this natural gas company. I don't know the extent of that. It's a lot. Like I said, there's so many moving parts in these stories.
Yeah.
Well,
okay. So, like, that I do know a little bit about. It's because, mm-hmm. What is the name? Somebody who's in charge of doing those investigations,
mm-hmm.
Biden pressured the president, President Obama, and the president of Ukraine to fire that guy. His name is Victor something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so that guy who was, he was like the prosecutor, and mm-hmm. he was like investigating Joe Biden's son.
Mm-hmm.
But like Democrats claim that like he had already stopped investigating Biden's son by that point.
Yeah.
And then Biden says that it's not because he was investigating his son. It was for other reasons because people don't really like this Victor guy.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh, I forget his name. I'm sorry. I'm just going to call people by their first names when I don't remember their last names. Sorry.
Yeah. And then I guess the biggest thing here is that this complaint was absolutely handled by the book, and it was properly determined that no further action should be taken. So essentially Republicans are trying to play it off as something that's not what the Democrats are making it seem, that mm-hmm. they're basically exaggerating the point of this to make it worse just so they have a reason to impeach the president and open up a whole investigation. But again, it's...
Which is possible.
It is possible.
It is possible. But I think that...
the timing and everything is
I
just...
I know. Yeah. It's really... It's very convenient timing right during the 2020 election cycle.
But when you also look into it, the whistleblower came from someone in the White House.
Yeah. So
and
who was it?
These notes were also...
Well, it was actually it was like a secret investigator, like someone within Secret Service.
Yeah. But even then, it was also like these notes were also accidentally sent to the Democrats.
Whoops.
Conspiracy theory, allegedly, supposedly... put that out there, we're not saying anything happened.
This is a conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory.
Ignore, like, don't actually listen to us.
Yeah, okay? But it's just like, I'm just playing around. But it's also like, it's the timing of everything, it can't be a coincidence, but also conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know, it's just...
It's on purpose.
There's just a lot, it's...
The whistleblower has known about this for months, and they planned it for right now on purpose.
Yeah.
And the whistleblower is Nancy Pelosi.
Oh my gosh, I feel like we're like on some
this is
conspiracy
speculation, don't
podcast.
Listen to me. Yeah. Okay, we have to go.
Yeah, yeah, when we come back, we're going to keep talking about shady leaders because that's what we do
but
here.
But switching to a whole other country.
Yeah.
I think
across
you know.
The pond.
I think you,
across
I think
the
you,
pond.
I think you know.
But yeah, stick around and we'll see you
on
when
the
we get
flip
back.
Side.
Yeah.
Hey, sports fans, this is Owen Boyle with your WHIP Sports Update. This Saturday at Lincoln Financial Field, the Temple football team will take on former head coach Jeff Collins and his Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. That game will kick off at 3:30. Moving on to Philadelphia sports, where the Phillies were eliminated from playoff contention yesterday against the Washington Nationals. They lost both games of the doubleheader and will still play three more in Washington before finishing the season at home against the Miami Marlins. The Eagles will take on the Green Bay Packers at Lambeau Field tomorrow night on Thursday Night Football. The last time the Eagles won against the Packers was in Nick Foles' first stint with the team in 2013. Tonight at 11 p.m., the Philadelphia Union will take on the San Jose Earthquakes in Major League Soccer. Just three games remaining, and both teams battling it out for playoff positioning in their respective conferences. The weather on Broad Street is sunny with a high of 81. Reporting on every half past on the hour, this has been Owen Boyle with your WHIP Sports Update.
Hello.
Hi.
And welcome back to Rational Radio here on WHIP, Philly's number one college radio station.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. We're exhausted. It's been a long day.
Yeah. Things are exhaustive in the news. We were just talking about the possibility of impeachment, which is happening over on our side of the pond. And now we're going to move on over to the other side of the pond.
Spill the tea, Emery.
Also,
pun completely intended.
Honestly, it's like kind of similar. It's not the same situation, but it's sort of similar because people are asking for a resignation.
I made a really good pun and Amaranth did not acknowledge it.
No, it was a great pun. Yeah. It was a great pun. I loved it.
Thank you.
Great
I was about
pun.
To say, I need to find a new host.
I'm going to replace me.
Go ahead.
Replace
take it
me.
Away.
Okay, so this is coming from BBC, which also I'm going to have to check in a little bit, like while I'm doing this, because there's live updates. So the Supreme Court just ruled yesterday that suspending Parliament was unlawful.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, so here's some background. Prime Minister Boris Johnson asked the Queen to suspend Parliament for 5 weeks, and she did it. Boris said that he wanted to outline his government's policies in a Queen's speech on October 14th, and that in order to do that, Parliament had to be prorogued. I think that is how you say that.
Is that just another word for suspended?
Yes.
Bliss.
Critics believe that what he was actually trying to do, instead of like prepare his speech, was stop Parliament so that no one would look closely at his Brexit plans.
Shady, shady, shady.
So then the Supreme Court, this is not our Supreme Court, this is the British Supreme Court.
We're in England right now.
Yeah,
we're
pretend,
not in America
pretend
anymore.
We're England. The Supreme, I could put on, no, I'm not going to do an accent. The Supreme Court ruled yesterday that this suspension was unlawful because it stopped members of Parliament from carrying out their duties in the run-up to Brexit. So the Prime Minister said that he profoundly disagrees with the ruling, but that he will respect it. Now, an important note. The court ruling does not prevent Boris, I keep calling him Boris instead of Prime Minister Johnson.
Just call him
I'm
Boris.
I'm calling him Boris.
Yeah.
The court ruling does not prevent Boris from proroguing again, as long as it does not stop Parliament from carrying out its duties without reasonable justification. So if he can find a good reason, then he can get Parliament suspended again. But only if he can find a good reason, which apparently he can't.
At this point, well, keep going. We'll discuss this later.
Okay, so Parliament reconvened today for the first time since they shut down in September. I think it was earlier this month. I think it was like the September 9th or something. It was a Monday. I remember that. So Parliament reconvened today. Highlights included Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn calling on Mr. Johnson to, quote, do the honourable thing, end quote, and resign. Then Boris attacked opposition members of Parliament for trying to block Brexit, and earlier the Attorney General said the government acted in good faith but angrily attacked, quote, this dead Parliament. The House also discussed their readiness or their preparation for a no-deal Brexit, because that seems like it's going to happen. Also, people are really mad at Boris because Paula Sheriff, she asked him to stop using dangerous language like Surrender Act, and she said that the people who sent death threats to members of parliament quote this language and cited the death of Joe Cox, who was murdered and was a member of parliament who was murdered. And in response, Boris said, "That's a load of humbug." So people don't like that.
Spicy language.
So just a little bit of explanation about what the Surrender Act is. This is according to Boris. Like, okay, this was me scrolling through like the live BBC feed of like what was happening in Parliament. So this is how Boris explained the Surrender Act. He said it would oblige us to stay in the EU for month after month at a cost of £1 billion per month. It would take away from this country the ability to decide how long that extension would be, and it would give that power to the EU. And then he said it would take away the fundamental ability of the country to walk away from the negotiations. The best way to get rid of the Surrender Act is not to have voted for it in the first place, to repeal it and to vote for the deal we're going to do. So he's calling it, so this act is like the, so in this act, basically it's allowing the EU, the EU to decide when and how Brexit happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's calling it Surrender Act because it's like surrendering their autonomy, I guess. And a lot of, there are people who have been sending death threats, who supporters of Brexit, sending death threats to members of parliament, citing this language, calling it surrender, to try, like, telling them that they're being surrendering, that they're surrendering their power, that they're being traitors and stuff, and they've been using this language in death threats.
Yeah.
And Paula Sheriff and other members of parliament think that the prime minister should avoid using this language because it's language that's been adopted by others. And he said that was humbug. And people did not like that. Let's see. Live updates. Let me check in on those.
I just checked. I didn't see anything.
Let's see. Anything? I'm just going to look real quick, see if anything happened. Let's see. They're not talking about Brexit anymore. Cabinet. Labor shadow cabinet minister resigns. That's cool.
So, well, Amaranth is looking through the news, if you don't,
same thing.
Yeah. If you don't remember Brexit, it was a, it was basically a vote that was put in 2016, and I only know this because I did a whole 10-page paper on this. But I mean, it's important to know these things. In 2016, there was a referendum essentially to decide whether or not the United Kingdom should stay in the European Union. Now, the benefit of staying in the European Union is that basically, not that they share their economy because they have different currencies and things like that, but there are benefits like being able to travel. Like, if you've ever been to Europe, you know you can go from country to country without passports and things like that. It's open travel. There's a lot of economic benefits with that as well. But a lot of people wanted to leave the European Union because England felt as though it had to tie itself to the Union. It felt like it couldn't do its own things. It felt like a lot of its decisions were based on how it would impact all of Europe, and England wanted to focus on itself. Now, the referendum, if I believe, it was like 53 to 47 or something like that. I just, so the Leave campaign won. The Leave campaign was essentially to leave the European Union. They won. But that was 3 years ago, 3.5 years ago, and they still haven't decided on when they would leave. They were supposed to leave in March of this year, if I remember correctly. But Theresa May, who used to be prime minister, she had a hard time figuring out deals. She was also not a very good prime minister, but
seems to be a common theme.
Yeah.
She
had a hard time trying to figure out an idea. It was a very divisive topic.
At this point, yeah. Brexit's going to happen October 30th, deal or no deal.
So,
and the goal is to have a deal so that it's not absolute chaos. Either way, it's going to be chaos.
Because,
but,
yeah, if England just leaves the European Union without tying up loose ends or anything like that, it's just, like, when the vote was, I can't speak today, when Leave campaign won, currency in, the economy in England just, like, exploded, mm-hmm. and not in a good way. It was a lot, there's been a lot of, and a lot of it, there's a lot of reasons why people wanted to leave besides economic reasons. A lot of it is tied down to xenophobia and the fact that with open travel, there's a lot of, like, immigrants coming in, specifically immigrants of color. It's just a lot of negative press, but that's here nor there.
I think, so I went over some stuff. I was scrolling through because, like, okay, I wrote this probably like 40 minutes ago before we came on air, and now it's different. So,
yeah,
you know, things happen. So right now people are asking the Prime Minister whether or not he's going to allow Scotland to vote for their independence again, because Scotland voted to be part of the UK.
Yes.
Because they believe that that would allow them a guaranteed entry into the European Union, into the European Union. Yeah. And now they've been pulled in with the UK for Brexit. Mm-hmm. They've been pulled into this. And so people are asking whether or not the Prime Minister is going to allow another Scottish independence vote. And he said, quote, "Scotland was promised. It was a once in a generation referendum, and we must respect that promise." I don't know what that means. I think he meant it happens once a generation they get to vote, so they're screwed until the next generation.
When was the last time they voted?
I don't know.
We can look that up.
Yeah, you can look that up while I mention also other things. People are asking the Prime Minister to apologize for suspending Parliament, which has been ruled unlawfully. They've been like, what would it take for him to apologize for his actions? And he said, quote, "I've tried to show every possible humility today, but the best way we can all collectively show humility is to deliver on the will of the people." So he's saying that the best way to apologize is to deliver on Brexit. other members of Parliament have said that, like, he claimed that this was not about Brexit, that suspending Parliament was not about Brexit, and yet Brexit is all that they've talked about at Parliament, essentially. They've mentioned a couple of other things, but in general, that's been, like, the main topic of conversation.
For the last, like, 3 years.
Right.
Longer than that, even before the referendum happened.
Which, like, to members of Parliament suggests that he really did suspend Parliament specifically because of Brexit, and it's still just as important now.
Yeah.
He's been offered a compromise from Liberal Democrat Wera Hobhouse, who suggested that she would vote for the deal if he promised to put the deal back to the people in a referendum. And she said that by doing that, he'll get a majority. And he said that shows that you can't trust Liberal Democrats, because she wants a second referendum, but her party leader wants to revoke the whole deal. So
yeah.
There's a lot, and people are really angry. It's pretty rowdy. Like, when he said the humbug comment, I mean, like, the bench exploded. Like, everyone was like, whoa, man. Like, people got mad. People are really mad at him, and they're asking him to resign, sort of similar to what's happening over in the U.S. right now.
Yeah, so. And, like, Boris Johnson hasn't been prime minister for, like, it hasn't even been, like, 3 months, 4 months. Theresa May stepped down in, like, May, I think, or June. One of the two. Yeah, it's a lot. And for reference, the Scottish referendum happened in 2014. So it's like 2014. It was like 5 years ago last week. Yeah. But it feels like this Brexit thing is never ending, because it's not. It literally is never ending.
Yeah.
Like, it's constantly up for debate. And even though this is happening in England, the ramifications of it, well, it's because it's a global market, and at the end of the day, whatever happens to England, the U.S. will also be affected.
Yeah.
It's just like, no, obviously they can't come to a decision because of how polarizing the issue is. You just wish that it's been three, you just think, like, it's been 3.5 years since the vote. It's been at least four years since this has happened. And, like, to put some context onto it, England's not the only country that has had a referendum like this. Other countries have. And a lot of them were approached by more conservative parties, who are, like, based on their ideology, more focused on their own economics rather than, like, a distinct region. It's just a matter of these other countries have been able to push these plans quicker. Why? Like, obviously you can't ask, like, why can't England do it this fast? Because there are a lot of moving parts and a lot of factors to put into it. But it's just, like, the longer it goes, the more they prolong it, the messier it's going to get. And it's so hard to believe that it's going to get messier than it is already.
It will. I just, like, I know that there's no really going back. It's just, they should go back. They should just cancel it. Just cancel it.
Like, even, and the thing is, like, I've read some research when I was doing my paper that, like, if they had a referendum again, that it would be a stay referendum.
Mm-hmm.
But, and there are a lot of factors as to why leave won, whether it was, like, voter intimidation, the fact that more older people go to the polls and more older people were more inclined to vote leave because, like,
of more conservative policies.
Yeah.
I mean, there are a lot of factors. I think that there was not a whole lot of explanation on what leaving Brexit would do outside of preventing free transportation, free migration.
Yeah.
Like, there was not a whole lot of explanation about what this could mean. And I think that now a lot of people are regretting that vote.
Yeah.
Because now they're seeing the impact of it. Because this is massive. And nothing's even happened yet. And it's gone crazy.
Yeah. Like, before the vote, a lot of leave campaigners were saying that, like, oh, the reason why National Health Service, which is, like, a big thing in England, like, older people are more likely to go to National Health Service. The reason why National Health Service appointments are so hard to get is because there's so many immigrants taking over National Health appointments, when really it's because the government, conservatives specifically, have cut funding to National Health Service, which means less employees, less ability to make appointments. It's just, it's harder. And people didn't find this out until after the campaign. So people are backtracking. But it's also just like, having a new referendum, I feel like, would just make it worse. Not because it would leave would win again, but just because it's just another cycle of this whole thing all over again. Like, should we? They don't even know if they want to leave Brexit. Like, for them to decide whether or not to vote again, it's just like all this time, all this effort, these last 4 years, like, not gone to waste, but it's like, it's harder than we think it is.
Yeah. And I think that, they're gonna be in Parliament for a while. Like,
yeah, Parliament, it's like 9 o'clock. It's almost ten o'clock there,
and they're still going, and they're gonna continue to go, like, yeah, to keep going. I mean, one of the members of Parliament said, he said, because the Prime Minister, he said, from now on, I'm only going to give very short responses. And the one member of Parliament was like, I've been here since 11:30 in the morning, and I don't plan to go home anytime soon. So the Prime Minister better not be tired yet. I was like, yo.
Jesus.
So yeah. I think we're going to talk more about this and what's happening with it on Friday when we come back, because we have to leave now.
Yes, we do.
But we will be back on Friday from 4 to 5. Will you be here?
I will be here.
Yeah, we'll be
Jenny
here Friday.
Will be here as well.
Yeah, we'll be here on Friday from 4 to 5 with Jenny. I'm also going to be on the district 6 to 7 on Friday. Look out for the district. I'm sorry, I don't know exactly when it's coming out. Ideally, it's coming out on Friday, I think.
The crackdown.
Check out our YouTube channel, WHIP Radio on YouTube.com. Look out for that, because that'll be coming soon. We've had some technical difficulties, but it's going to come out. Also,
it'll get there.
Hopefully, podcasts will come back this week. Our podcast recording system wasn't working, but hopefully it is now. So check out our Spotify for old shows, podcasts, etc. And we will catch you soon.
Yep.
Adios.
See you later.
Bye.